And that will be a turnover on downs, and that should just about do it. I would hope that at this point that the Vikings will take a couple of knees and start to celebrate their victory here with their fans. Beautiful day, but the result is not what the Cards were looking for. But at the same time, you come out here, you battle, and I think this group still has nothing but pride should be the feeling for, a very solid season, another victorious season for this football program. Austin Adams in the pistol, and they whistle. And it looks like a timeout on the field with 1 minute even to go. So a timeout, and we will take a timeout as well. Be back in 30 seconds here on 98.9 WXCO.
Rocket Industrial's mission to package with less is a commitment to making a future that's better for the next generation. Their recommendations help manufacturers across the nation package with less material, less waste, less time, and with less cost. Their engineers and experts provide data-backed solutions that positively impact your bottom line. When you work with Rocket Industrial, you're working with a partner committed to making a difference. Rocket Industrial, package with less. Learn more at rocketindustrial.com.
And now stepping in under center and getting ready, I think, to take a knee, and doing so is Austin Adams. And the final seconds will tick off as we are down to 50 seconds to go in the game. So the Frederick Vikings will win for the seventh time in 9 opportunities this year. And the Newman Catholic Cardinals will finish off their 2025 season with 5 wins and 4 losses. We have to do one more snap, and they will do so. And that will be the final snap of the game and the final snap for the season for the Newman Catholic Cardinals. Yes, Frederick wins this one today by a score of 65-0. We'll come back, have our post-game show coming up next. Look at the numbers. Talk to the Coach Paul Mickling and wrap things up. Again, Cardinals fall today by a score of 65-0. This is Newman Catholic High School football on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app.
What's your idea of fall fun? Maybe it's hitting the trails on a new ATV. Then it's time to call CCU. That's Clover Belt Credit Union. Or if you're thinking of a UTV for hauling wood or hunting, or maybe just because it would make the tasks around your property so much easier, it's time to call CCU. ATVs, UTVs, utility tractors, and their attachments for care of your property. Whether you need it for fun or to get the job done, Clover Belt Credit Union is here to help with the great rate financing you want. What are you waiting for? Life's too short and winter's too long. Thinking about a motorhome or maybe a snowplow for your ATV or utility tractor? Call CCU for great rate financing. And if you're thinking motorcycle, Clover Belt Credit Union has the financing you need for the bike you want. Call or apply online at ccuwausau.com. Check it out. For vehicle loans, for mortgages, for financing fall fun, call Clover Belt Credit Union. That's CCU. Local lenders lending local money, keeping our community strong.
Thanks to Wisconsin Valley Flag Football for their support of football broadcasts on Bull Falls Radio 98.9. Wisconsin Valley Flag Football is a league for 3rd through 6th graders in central Wisconsin. Wisconsin Valley Flag Football is a fast-paced 5-on-5 league with small teams, so everyone is in on the action. For more information on Wisconsin Valley Flag Football, go to their Facebook page or their website at wivalleyflagfb.com. That's wivalleyflagfb.com. I'm Chad Holmes, joining myself and former Wausau West High School head football coach Jason Foster every Wednesday night from 6 until 8 p.m. for the Big High School Sports Show on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Each week, we will review and preview the high school football action around Central Wisconsin, plus special guests. Each week, we will talk to an area head football coach about their team and also bring on a student athlete to talk about their athletics and off the field as well. The Big High School Sports Show, each and every Wednesday night from 6 until 8 p.m. on Central Wisconsin's radio home for high school sports, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And don't forget, you can catch a podcast of every week's show at WXCO.fm, also on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, streaming at BullFallsRadio.com.
Chad Holmes again from our Cloverville Credit Union broadcast booth in Frederick. Cloverville Credit Union since 1936, local lenders lending local money, keeping our community strong. Great rate financing for cars, trucks, recreational vehicles, and mortgages. Info at ccuwausau.com. 2025 season comes to an end tonight for the Newman Catholic High School football team. A 8-player football level 1 matchup. Cardinals fall to Frederick by a score of 65-0. Let's look at the stats. We'll get a chance to talk to the coach here in a few moments. Michael Fox, 14 carries, 10 yards today. Eli Feit had 5 carries for 1 yard. Tristan Fisher, 1 carry for 6 yards. Passing, Michael Fox was 7 of 26 for 114 yards, 2 interceptions. Tristan Fisher was 0 for 1 passing for 0 yards. Tristan Fisher had 7 catches for 114 yards today. He had all the receptions today for Newman Catholic. 17 yards on the ground, 114 yards through the air, 131 yards of total offense for the Newman Cardinals here this afternoon. For Frederick, 7 carries, 78 yards and a touchdown for Leif Lottie. Royce Anderson had 4 attempts for 94 yards and a touchdown. Alex Chenault had 2 carries for 55 yards and a touchdown. Freddie Nelson had 2 attempts for 28 yards and a touchdown. Adam Austin had 2 carries for negative 2 yards. 7 of 10, 145 yards, 3 touchdowns and an interception passing. 253 running, 145 through the air, 398 of total offense for Frederick. Coach Paul Micklick, I'm just going to say congratulations on an overachieving year. I mean, you talk to me a lot about the numbers. Sometimes the numbers just don't add up, and your team had to battle through so many injuries and come out here and fight here today. But beyond today, I just think congratulations on an overachieving year for you and your program.
Yeah. Been doing that for a long time, Chad, haven't we?
Yes, you have. I talked about it during the game. People don't remember.
Yeah.
Because Newman Catholic.
I know is that when we win, though, we do it with a lot more class. That's when I think because I've obviously been on the other side, so I know how that is. And but our seniors that played today gave me everything they had. Tristan and Everett and Damian, hats off to those three guys. Great careers. They're all conference players for a reason. They gave me everything they had. I truly appreciate them. I appreciate everything they've given me as a program, and think they're part of the state title team. They're part of conference champion teams and all 4 years playoff teams, and they kept it afloat, with obviously with the numbers that we have in the school a little lower, and these guys kept on battling. I thought they did a pretty good job.
You mentioned the
great job.
Great job. And frankly, the first drive reminded me of the old days about how you have this knack of coming into a tough situation and finding a way to move the football, a 12-play drive, and move it into the red zone. And unfortunately, we weren't able to score. But again, it just shows, it reminds me of how you, your staff, your guys always try to make something happen.
Yep.
And it was a little bit of a flashback, I thought.
That's what we need to do, and then we got them into a fourth down play in the first in the first drive, and you know, and honestly, I thought, you know, even though it was 14, we got a pick, and then Sunday they missed a pass interference call, and then they threw a flag on us, and then
it was a pass. Yes,
and it was forward pass, and so it was three bad plays in a row,
right?
And I said it, that
was the point where kind of three touchdowns is tough.
Yeah, because they're talent
yes.
beat us
yep.
on that, and hats off to them, and good football team, and we wish them the best. But our kids, we had to play everything perfect, and up until that point, we were.
7-minute drive, that was exactly what you wanted.
That's exactly what we were talking about all week, and we were happy with that, and it's just a lot of memories coming up here, a lot of places that we saw. On the way here, a lot of memories with these kids, this group, and somebody's got to. No, there's only one team that wins at the end of the day, and to be part of this group is always a pleasure. And having you, Chad, and everything, it's these kids have done a great job all season to get us in this position, to get into the playoffs. Had a battle, and last year they're part of that too, my gratitude to this and what our program has done, being one of the only two schools, is proudful, and we'll enjoy that bus ride back with these kids, because it's the last time, one of the last times we're together as a team, and that's actually the thing that stinks the most is that not coming to practice on Monday. But I love these kids. I love what they represent, and I love how they represent not just. They represent me and my coaching staff and the football program in a great way, both on and off the field.
One final point based on that, because I think, I've been around a lot of teams over the years, and I think one of the things that I always look for is if a coach always just wants to be around those guys. And I always got the sense this year that you really like this group. These guys were fun to be around.
They're great to be around. And it'll be tough not going to practice on Monday. So we'll enjoy it and the ride home and we'll be back.
Thank you, Coach.
Thanks, Jeff.
Head Coach Paul Micklegg of the Newman Catholic Cardinals, as the Cards finish off their season, 5 wins and 4 losses, and again, a very good Frederick team. This is a Frederick squad. I'm actually curious to see this team go up against number one seed next week, because I think they're a very talented group, a very physically gifted group, and they really performed very well here today. But today it was the Frederick squad earning the 65-0 victory. Well, that will wrap up our football coverage of the Newman Catholic Cardinals, and of course, we will be back with the Cardinals as the basketball season gets underway sooner rather than later. The seasons, they roll together so very tightly these days, but we'll be back with winter sports. But we're not done with football. We will have 11-player playoff action next week for sure. I'll be with the Wausau West Warriors at Heartland Arrowhead next Friday night, 6:35 for the pregame, 7 o'clock for the opening kickoff. And then we may have the Wausau East game on the Sports 2 stream, but we're going to have some of our discussions coming up, and we will talk about that. Keep an eye. Tune in every morning on our WXCO Morning Report. I will keep you up to speed on things there. Also, keep track of our WXCO social media. My social media will keep you up to speed on there as well. But a beautiful day here, beautiful fall day up here in northern Wisconsin at Frederick. And thanks to the folks at Frederick for providing a terrific broadcast spot and a terrific place to watch some football here today. Thanks to everyone with Newman Catholic Football for their help this season. And again, we'll look forward to being with the Cardinals again next year. 65-0 Frederick over Newman. Thanks to all of our sponsors as well. Without their help, we could not do high school athletics here on 98.9 WXCO. I'm Chad Holmes from our Clover Belt Credit Union broadcast booth. Thanks for joining us for Newman Catholic High School football on 98.9 WXCO.
This has been Newman Catholic High School football on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Newman Catholic football has been brought to you by the Newman Catholic Athletic Booster Club, Sun Printing, Wisconsin Valley Flag Football, Rocket Industrial, and the Wausau Business Show, and the Cloverbelt Credit Union, sponsor of the Cloverbelt Credit Union broadcast booth. Thanks for joining us for Newman Catholic High School football on your home for the Cardinals, 98.9 WXCO.
Gotta go crank up his Model T.
Andrew Cuomo, yes, is not going to accept the Democratic defeat and is going to run as an independent. Republican, not exactly sure. However, Zohran Mamdani won pretty decisively, has a lot of support, running as a Democrat, and has, you know, also pointed out that he's actually a democratic socialist. If anybody wants to know what that means, Bernie Sanders is probably our best example of a democratic socialist. We're not going to do a whole lot
what
of
about AOC.
Would AOC, yeah, I think AOC. Yeah, AOC too.
Champion. I like what she champions. I like those ideas.
Yeah, but Mamdani is, you know, pointing out some things that people are really excited about. However, his proposal is, Johnny, to do away with the gifted and talented kindergarten program in New York City. And you were alluding to that. Wow, why would he do that? And boy, there's like so many different ways to talk about this, because is it testing? Is it right? And as you pointed out, I mean, some people prepare their kids neonatally to get ready to be accepted into the gifted kindergarten program in New York City, because it's like a major lottery win to get into this kind of things where it will set your future up in ways kind of incredible. And so this is one of the program proposals that isn't going over well with New York City liberal elites.
New York City!
There he is again. So the liberal elites do not like this program, pointing it out there. So
I don't like it either, Tim. I'm just going to go out on a limb here and with my fellow New Yorkers out there. I'm, you know, if you're ruffled about this, you got to take a closer look. I'm against it, so I'm excited to get in. I mean, I'm against gifted programs. I'm a big fan of acts in these things, so I'm kind of excited about seeing this movement and this conversation for a number of reasons, but I'm glad that it's happening, and especially in New York. I mean, I think it's a great place to just drop the hammer on this. You know, I think it's like if we're going to end a practice that I think, you know, I hate to pick on it, but my entire time teaching, I was never really a big fan of these programs, these tracks. So we could get into it, but no, I especially am not a fan for, you know, any determinant factor at age 5-6 years old, you know, other than, do you know where to put the pee yet or not? Right. Oh, those kinds of things. Do you eat crayons in the pool? Do you eat crayons and glue? No. Okay, good. Are you learning the alphabet? You like to sing songs and, you know, you're learning to get along with others. Great. Let's get together with other people around that same age and some of the best teachers in the country, those kindergarten teachers out there. And we learn to learn together. So I'm not a huge fan of the increased testing and sorting mechanisms that are pretty closely wed to these talented and gifted programs. So I'm excited to hear that we're thinking about giving them the axe places.
Wow. Johnny Lupinacci dropping a hammer.
New York City!
Man, and a bowling ball. What, you know what? Right out there. I got to tell you, though, if you're wondering where Tim and Jacob are on this. Well, when we get back, we're going to talk to Jacob, chairman of the board, when we get back.
Choo-choo!
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on Air.
Hi, it's Jane Matt Nair.
Hi, it's Greg Bach.
I'm Calvin.
Join us weekdays 9 to 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network for Matt Nair on Air.
We cover all the news that directly affects us as Wisconsinites.
And we lighten things up in hour number two with a segment called Audio Sorbet, and this shouldn't be a thing. We hope you can join us.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Join me, Tom Hartman, each and every weekday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program right here on Civic Media. I talk about the issues that all Wisconsinites can get behind, from unrigging our economy so it works for all of us, not just the billionaire class, to improving our representative government, to delivering on the promise of we the people. Tune in middays right here on your local Civic Media station from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program. Tag, you're it.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 98.9 WXCO.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Wow. Ooh, because they're back already. Yep. Educated educators talking education. Well, you know what that means. Busted pencils. Civic Media Saturday. If you're listening in your car, if you're listening on your radio somewhere, you know, we appreciate it. Downloaders, we love that you also are participating whenever you can. It is, yeah, the 1 hour show. Gifted and talented. We're talking about New York City. Johnny, go ahead.
New York City!
There it is. Yes, that place. And the Democratic nominee for mayor, Zohran Mamdani, is proposing to do away with the elite kindergarten gifted program. You got to hear where Johnny Lupinacci was. He's like, good for him, man. We need to do that.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Like, I champion love it. This.
And yep. And I said, well, you know, you haven't heard.
I'm drinking the Kool-Aid on this one, man.
You haven't heard from Tim and Jacob. And I was like, okay, before me, how about Jacob, chairman of the board? Jacob, what are you thinking about this? And, you know, how's this sitting in your bird's nest?
Well, over here in my nest, Tim, I think it's easy for you and Johnny to be critical because you guys were not talented or gifted as children. But for me, I was one of these talented, gifted children. I went to a cool magnet elementary school, and then I got invited to the gifted accelerated elementary school in my city where I'm from. And the same thing in middle school. I was accepted into the gifted accelerated thing. Now, I will say that I turned down both of those opportunities because I liked my friends. So I don't know if they actually work. I went there briefly, and then I said, I'm okay. I like the normal people back at the normal school.
So you dropped out of giftedness.
I did. Well, no, I didn't drop out of being gifted. I'm still awesome, but I'm more of a working man's guy. So I stuck with my blue-collar scholar crew back at the real school.
All right.
And so for me, this proposition, I like the idea of not having these cloistered clusters of the gifted. I think everybody cloistered should be clusters. Together.
Yes.
That's the name of this episode, cloistered clusters.
Oh, my God.
But maybe you could say, well, that's all well and good for you to say that after you had these opportunities and squandered them. Don't take it away from other people. But I think overall it's good for everybody to be in one good public school. That's my
thought. Okay. Yeah. So bigger, broader issue here. So as Johnny said, yes, I'm not going to say where this is happening again, but gifted and talented, you know, I know some people who would criticize gifted and talented at any age, because typically the assessment made to determine that has largely been some form of a numerical standardized test. And we've come a long way in recognizing that children, people have all kinds of ways to demonstrate intelligence, giftedness. In fact, you know, we had Howard Gardner on the show a few months back talking about multiple intelligences. And, you know, and so when you say somebody's gifted, how do you make that determination? So any of these gifted programs, if you're a gifted advocate out there, you know, definitely leave some voicemails for us and some emails, because we'd gladly like to talk to you. But I'm always just, that's my biggest issue, is the narrowness of the determination. And then though too, when we talk about, Johnny, you pointed out 5-year-olds and actually 4 years old in a lot of kids, because they're rushing to get them in. And so a lot of parents will enroll their kids at age 4 if they qualified. Can a 4-year-old demonstrate giftedness on some form of a standardized assessment? And is that a valid score? And if a 4-year-old can't score gifted, is that really an assessment that they're not gifted? Because when they develop a little bit more a few years later, all of a sudden, holy crap, we missed them. And so do they get out there? I think there's a whole bunch of issues here, you know, gifted and talented as even a specialness that certain kids should get this extra attention, more opportunity, however you want to describe whatever it was you gifted and talented people got when you left the classroom and left the rest of us blue collar kids to hang out and listen to teachers drone on. But kindergarten, that's another issue that I think is incredibly important to point out, that I'm kind of really skeptical of identifying any 4- and 5-year-old as gifted. And I'm even more skeptical of saying to kids they're not at that age. The proposal here, Johnny, actually, when we dig in deep, just to make sure that we're accurate, is actually to only do away with the kindergarten gifted program, to phase back in, though, a 3rd grade acceptance into gifted programs in New York City. And so, you know, I think we got some issues. Is it too young to make a determination at that age? The blowback, as we say, the liberal elites in New York City are absolutely up in arms by this. See this as an affront. And I'm going to point out to go, of course they do, because this is a privilege that they have for so long kind of hoarded and taken up for themselves. And as you pointed out, how is it that you determine somebody's gifted in kindergarten? Well, there's usually a lot of extra resources that parents bring in birth until the age of 4 and 5 that a lot of other kids don't have the opportunity to have. So there's a whole big issue there. Jacob, I'm sorry you dropped out of giftedness. I never had the chance because I failed that test. And, you know, more though, man, lots to go on. Can't wait for Johnny Lupinacci to come back and really tell us how horrible giftedness is. We'll be right back.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
CBS News Brief. All over the nation and in Europe, people are showing up in droves for No Kings demonstrations protesting President Trump's policies. Bill Nye, the science guy in Washington, D.C.
We want our government to run without a king.
This woman is a U.S. citizen at a protest in Berlin.
This is one thing that we can do. We can't show up there, but we can show up here.
President Trump, who was hosting a $1 million per plate MAGA Inc. fundraiser at Mar-a-Lago, says he is not a king. Republicans have painted the demonstrators as radicals and are calling the events Hate America rallies. President Trump has commuted the sentence for disgraced former Long Island Representative George Santos, who was serving time for fraud. CBS's Michelle Miller with more details.
He admitted to deceiving donors and voters and stealing the identities of nearly a dozen people. In a social media post, Trump claimed Santos had been horribly treated in prison.
CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keyes.
The Brewers' season comes to an end. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers were once again dominated by the Dodgers in Los Angeles. The Dodgers winning 5-1 to complete a four-game sweep of Milwaukee. The Brewers going from the best record in baseball to runners-up in the postseason again. Manager Pat Murphy.
We've talked about being an inch from the top and an inch from the bottom. And we faced a really, really talented team that played really, really good.
The Dodgers starting pitcher, Shohei Ohtani, named the series MVP after pitching six scoreless innings, striking out 10 batters, and hitting three home runs in the game, one that left the ballpark.
There's a reason why he's the greatest player on the planet. You know, what he did on the mound, what he did at the bat, he created a lot of memories for a lot of people. And so for us to do it in a game, clinching game at home, wins the NLCS MVP, pretty special. And I'm just happy to be able to go along for the ride.
That's Dodgers manager Dave Roberts. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. If you're looking for a more efficient way to watch TV, this might be a deal for you. You can now bundle Apple TV with Peacock. Apple TV is already ad-free, but if you pair it with Peacock Premium Plus, which is Peacock's version of ad-free, it will cost you $19.99 a month. That's barely a savings from current prices, but if you go with the ad-supported Peacock, you can get both platforms for $14.99. Apple TV right now is currently $12.99, so that's not a bad deal, if you don't mind a few ads. It was pretty much a given Taylor Swift's new album, The Life of a Showgirl, was going to break records. According to Variety, Showgirl sold 4 million units in its first week. The old record was 3.5 million units for a week, which was previously held by Adele, according to Billboard. Swift also set a record, now having the most number one solo albums, breaking a tie she held with Jay-Z and Drake. She trails only the Beatles, who hold the record for all artists with 19 number one albums. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation, and home to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Highs in the low 70s today, lots of sunshine, turning windy tonight with a chance of showers and lows in the mid-40s. Still windy on Sunday with sunshine in the afternoon, highs in the mid-50s. On Monday, slight chance of a shower, and we'll see highs in the low 60s.
Currently, 69 degrees.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Maybe what's happening at the school board needs to be disrupted.
Jim Santel and Joan Esposito, the Wisconsin teacher losing their job because of a social media post. The teacher's tweet disrupted the district's operations.
Judge says that overcomes the right of the teacher to speak publicly.
What if this were 60 years ago and she were putting up a post about desegregating the school?
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Maggie Dawn.
I'm joined by my special guest, Tom Paulsiewicz. We dive into Donald Trump's plan to dispatch the IRS against his enemies and Magic Mike's refusal to seat the newest elected congresswoman. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Man, I love coming into the third segment here because it's where we get to really drone on busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. New York City,
New York City! There,
mayoral candidate Zoran Mamdani has proposed eliminating the gifted kindergartner program in New York City. We have gone all kinds of different directions talking about this. However, so if you do away with it, then what would take its place? And there was a point, Johnny, I was wondering if I can get your reaction to this, saying, okay, if you're going to get rid of it, then you need to level up the game for all kindergartners to make sure that every kindergartner in New York City gets every opportunity to demonstrate how awesome they are. And then we'll maybe consider letting you do away with the gifted program. What do you think?
No, I think I like where you're going with that, Tim. I think, you know, people are very reactive to Zoran's, proposal here to cut, like you said, cut the gifted kindergarten programs. Because I think if we look big picture, you know, his stance and policies proposed on education emphasize universal child care, right? And so he's pledged, you know, to really work hard towards a free universal child care system, which would benefit all students. And so, you know, I think that early start, those early interventions for any kid in New York are more important and arguably have a bigger impact than, you know, sorting. And I like that you emphasize really the critique of the gifted kindergarten program isn't to, you know, end all gifted programs or end all accelerated instruction, but just saying, you know, hey, I don't think we should subject 4 and 5 year olds to a single high stakes assessment, right? It unfairly separates them at a young age, right? And so then what do you do if you're not going to have these sorting mechanisms in place? Well, then you got to have something where the standard comes up. And I think that's there in the proposed, you know, policies, primarily around universal childcare and emphasizing public school funding. Like where's that going to happen in our public schools? Well, who's paying for that? The public, right? That's the whole socialist Democrat platform, right? That's that idea here that, there's a strong social responsibility of the government to adequately fund public schools and especially to provide childcare, right? And I know that runs antithetical to what a lot of critics of not only Zoran, but of socialist democracies have. They say, well, that's not the job of the government. That's the job of parents, right? And so if parents aren't providing it, then that's on them. Shame on them. And sorry, kid, that's what you get for being born where you're born. So those are two very different, distinct sets of beliefs. A belief that no matter what you're born into, school, you know, funded properly by government, provides you with a base that gives you opportunities, right? That you can work in, that you have a quality education. And that starts early. So universal childcare. But Tim, you nailed it. The critics, right? mm-hmm. whether they're, you know, critics of the social responsibility of governments to fund schools, or they're critics even within that. Dare we say, like, liberal critics that are saying, wait, that impacts our kids' education, right? And you're trying to prioritize equity at the expense of students who need advanced instruction, right? AKA my kids, powerful elite parent that has, you know, probably left-leaning views when it's popular, right? Mm-hmm. And in public settings are like, yes, I am a good Democrat, but not when it comes to taking resources and away from my kid and allocating them across other kids whose parents it's their responsibility for them, right? And there's a slippery slope Woo. Into a shared critique. So, hey, really great to offer our listeners, you know, we'll plug no sponsorship here in connection, though would love to have a conversation with the folks that made the podcast I'm about to recommend. There's a great podcast on NPR, right, called Nice White Parents. And it's about affluent parents in New York City. Ooh. And it's really telling to the power and the politics of public schools in New York City, which have a long history, even in the public school sector, of not being so equitable, but championing a message of equity. So it's a great podcast called Nice White Parents. It isn't only talking about white folks. You know, they do a great job of saying just this is more about affluent New York culture, mm-hmm. right? That also has a strong tinge of whiteness to it historically here, but, you know, really looks at, well, do we really care about kids or do we mostly care about our own kids? Mm-hmm. And those things start to contradict when you look at things like, hey, we are going to invest in a public education system that provides, you know, a high floor mm-hmm. for every single kid. And the, and I'll even pump Zohran's tires a little more here too and say his policies align in this spirit all the way through higher ed. He's a strong advocate that, like, City University in New York, CUNY, our colleagues are there, man. I have friends who went to grad school there doing amazing work in education. He believes that if you're a New York City kid, right, that that school should be free of tuition for you to attend.
Okay.
And I know a lot of New Yorkers who believe that. And I know some who are going to think, no way. I had to pay my way through there. So the next generation should also have to pay. It's like, hey, hold on. Right. Let's practice what we preach. Right. If you believe in strong democracy, you believe in educational equity, you believe especially in, and we'll go away from the higher ed example and back to children, that kids should be given an opportunity to make the most of whatever situation they're in. Well, then you do that through strong public school systems. And I like this idea that the gifted kindergarten program, mm-hmm. you know, let's get rid of that in lieu of making sure every kindergartner or every preschooler or every young person has a great start.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, Jacob.
Oh, sorry, Tim, do you want to go?
No.
Okay, please. Here's my question. Well, if we're in New York City and we've got the youngest Rockefeller and we've got little young Johnny Lupinacci, the youngest Rockefeller, if he thinks he's gifted or he's an elite, he wants to go to a nice school, he can go to Andover Prep like George Bush and his parents can pay for that. But the gifted program is here to help a guy who doesn't have a lot of money get that same sort of treatment to go through the system. Is that not true or am I missing something on that?
I'm going to take a different spin on that for you, Jacob, and see if this makes sense with your question. Johnny points out something that actually you'd say, okay, wealth and what wealth can provide. You're absolutely right, Jacob. You know, rich people have options. They don't have to rely on the New York City public schools, right? But what's happened over time here with this New York City gifted kindergarten program, it in and of itself has become its own kind of exclusive place for special people and special families that it's kind of gotten its own sense of whatever you know, awesome prep school that you could go to, getting accepted as a kindergarten to the New York City gifted program, maybe is just as good, maybe even better than some of the more private elite schools. But, you know, to point out, how would you actually make kindergarten, you know, equitable? Well, it's going to take funding. And first of all, I'm going to point out and make this some form of a speculation, just in case I'm wrong. But the amount of wealth that's concentrated in the roughly 1,500 to 2,000 kids that get into gifted and talented kindergarten in New York City, they probably have enough money to fully fund incredibly awesome kindergarten, and so that it would be great for all public kids. But I'm going to bet they would never want to do that, because the reality is that what makes this program the way it is and why people are so ruffled is because it was an exclusivity, a special place that had kind of created its own sense of, you know, this is mine, this is ours, and you're taking away something special for us that actually gave our kids extended privileges. And the reality is that, Johnny, you're right. What I care about is my kid. And so I'm not going to fully fund equitable, awesome education for all kids, because then my kid would just be one of all kids, and my kid ain't one of all kids. Jacob, does that help?
I don't have any kids, so I have no horse in this race. What I could tell you, Dr. Tim, is that as an incredibly gifted person myself, I think that this treatment should be extended in as much as possible to all kindergartners, and especially at those the younger levels. I think it's crazy that you would break people up like that. Kids should have a nice, good standard of education.
Mm. Well, and here's the thing, Tim, even though I'm going to be, you know, more advocating for, I'm not sure that these programs should exist at all. All right. That's a little extreme. In the case of New York City, there just is overwhelmingly strong evidence that you can't determine this.
Yeah.
In kindergarten. Right. Right. So they're saying like, hey, let's just put a pause on all these programs till third grade.
Okay.
And, you know, maybe then they're saying like, hey, third grade, there is an appropriate, you know, time in which, you know, the assessments, I'm going to pluralize that. So hopefully it's not just, you know, take this one test and here you go, you're in the accelerated program. But the assessments say, hey, there's a need here for some accelerated learning for a group of students, and they're going to be served in a different capacity and, you know, in this particular grouping. And again, I'm not a big fan of it. That's probably controversial, even in a agree to disagree kind of way. I could be wrong about this thing. I'll admit that. But what seems to be, you know, consensus, and we lean on that a lot here.
There we go.
Is that you can't determine this in kindergarten. So no one's telling the parent, you know, that's against this, say, hey, but my kid's gifted, you know. It's like, well, actually, we don't necessarily know that in a very real way until maybe later in their educational career, and they'll still have those opportunities ahead of them. But for now, like, they're just kind of like all the other kids, and keep doing the great work that you're doing, because, yep, they know their ABCs a little bit faster than maybe their neighbor does. Great. Let's get them all together, keep them together for a few years, and see what happens.
My neighbor. You bringing up my neighbor, Johnny Lupinacci.
Uh-oh.
You
got a neighbor in New York City.
I got to tell you, though, you're talking about my kid, and my kid, Johnny, is gifted and is special. Oh, I don't know. Oh, what are we going to do with all of these smart kindergartners? Maybe we'll figure it out when we get back.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Paul Jaconi Berry and Sean Hannish back with another great Wisconsin sports film. No Packers, no life.
Sean came across No Packers, No Life at the Wisconsin Film Festival and said, you got to see it. We got to see if we can do something. This movie is just such a great opportunity to really see the impact of Wisconsin culture halfway around the world in Japan. It is just so magical and joyful. Yeah. So I encourage everybody to come take a look.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allbaugh Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4. 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allbaugh Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Bam, bam, bam. Woo! Man. You guys thought there was an extra guitar. That was Johnny Lupinacci. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Ripping through the scales.
True. Busted pencils, fully leaded. Education talk. Educated educators. Talking education. Talking gifted education. More specifically, New York City kindergarten giftedness. Democratic nominee for mayor Zohran Mamdani is proposing to do away with gifted kindergartening. Man, we've had a discussion kind of all over the place on this. I'm going to guess, though, that between all three of us that we are really, you know, adamantly and very strongly saying, like, hold on, kindergarten, no. We got to at least stop the sorting and give these kids a little bit more time to potentially developmentally, you know, show some things that maybe a four-year-old isn't showing, but maybe when they're eight, holy crap. Can I say that's, we all agree, you can't tell if a kindergartner is gifted, or maybe you can, but maybe you can't know kids who will be gifted, potentially, is what we're saying. How's that
sound? Yeah, I'll go along with that.
Okay.
Leave Jacob. The children alone, Tim. They're just trying to eat their paste and learn their letters. We don't have to treat all the kindergartners like Russian figure skaters and drill them from the time they're born into these perfect products.
Nice. Yeah, agreed. Let the utes be utes.
Exactly. Utes.
What is it, David Bowie? And these children that you spit on, you got, come on, nobody can finish that?
Well, I was hoping you could, because you just said the weirdest part.
Well, you know, we're talking about Changes, an incredibly awesome song. It was the ending quote of The Breakfast Club. David Bowie, the lyrics from Changes. These children that you spit on as they try to change their world, come on,
are immune to your consultations.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Right.
But you don't sound like David Bowie. Can't you? Do you have,
I don't know. I don't have a David. I don't have a David Bowie voice. No, I can't. I got a good neighbor voice, but I don't have a David Bowie voice. Sorry about that.
Right before the changes.
There, see, Johnny's got that voice. They're kids, you know. As you said, Jacob, my God, what are we doing? If anything, let's really take seriously childhood and acknowledge that every 4-year-old, if that's when they're gonna start kindergarten or 5-year, deserves a gifted education regardless of what their standardized test score might be later on in life, because we're talking about early childhood experiences, and there is nothing in the research that says you get anything but benefit when you provide more and more opportunity the younger and younger the kids are. And you know, it
early interventions, man.
That's it,
early
Johnny. You point out about this all the time. It's an investment too. I mean, you know what?
Yeah.
Make kindergarten great again. There we go. What do you guys think?
Well, Jake? You know, we talked about it when we talked about the importance of Sesame Street and really great shows like that. I mean, it's all pours into our childcare system, right? And the more we support caring about children.
I'll try to get those Make Kindergarten Great Again hats ready for the next week. So I'll see what we can do in the merch department.
Make Kindergarten. That doesn't come off like a MAGA or a MAHA.
doesn't flow off the tongue so well.
Oh, I think, and Johnny, to point out too, like, this happens too, is that this will end up becoming an issue for people that they make their voting decision on. And the reality is, here's like, you want to be a great democratic citizen. There isn't any politician who's going to tick every box for you. It's kind of looking at this because, Johnny, actually his proposal, as you point out, for early childhood health care and things like that. Come on, man. I think you're right. If he pulls that off, wow, can you imagine what they call kindergarten readiness? Can you imagine how many more kids would be, quote, ready for kindergarten? Wow. I don't know. So much more, though. But you know what time it is, though, Johnny? It's time for your moment of zen. You do things again and again, and nothing happens. It requires patience, but not a passive patience, the patience of activism.
Thanks, listeners, for being patient with us today and listening to the broadcast. Remember to grab great podcasts chocked full with all kinds of fully leaded education talk on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And of course, you can always find us at the Civic Media website or on our website, bustedpencils.com. And don't you dare be late for homeroom on Monday. And make sure you catch next week's class and session on Wednesday. And you can always find us on Friday for producer Jacob's choice. And just like today, You can tune in and listen to Busted Pencils broadcast at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media Network stations for 1 hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.
Listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keyes. No Kings demonstrations are taking place in Europe and across the U.S., protesting the policies of President Trump. Independent Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders speaking in the nation's capital.
We have masked agents working for ICE, breaking down doors, throwing people into vans without due process, and taking them to God knows where.
WBZ reporter Mike Macklin in Boston.
The Boston rally drew tens of thousands of people to Boston Common. Mayor Michelle Wu was the first to speak.
We stand here today to tell the Trump administration, when it comes to our freedoms, when it comes to our families, Boston doesn't back down.
Now to the No Kings protest in Germany.
We ain't gonna let them get away with it.